This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, November 21st, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome into the big program. Lots going on today. Let's get right into it. Here in Madison, on State Street downtown, the precipitation has stopped. Just gusty winds right now, a bit wet outside. But boy, howdy, a weather system came through and knocked on the door of lots of many areas in our state right now. Let's take a look, first of all, at Wisconsin weather radar. And most of the snow, I know for people, say, in listening in Eau Claire and Amory and La Crosse and those areas, they're saying, what are you talking about, Todd? But for those of us, say, from central, south central Wisconsin to Madison, over into southeast Wisconsin, and then up through the Fox Valley, you know exactly what I mean. System came in overnight through this morning, much of rush hour, and dropped. In some cases, we're getting reports in southeast Wisconsin, 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground. And I know Brittany Merlot on Jay Matt Nair's show before ours was talking about this lake effect snow over along the eastern part of the state, along Lake Michigan. Most of that precipitation in the form of snow has now moved either out or is dissipating across the state of Wisconsin. There is, and it's kind of weird in that this precipitation is coming down out of the north. It's a great big system. It's wrapping around, and so it's actually kind of circulating through Wisconsin, but it's kind of coming from the north. So this big band of precipitation right now for our listeners up in Park Falls area, right around that area, down through Wausau, down through Wisconsin Rapids, right into the Madison area, and then south of Madison into Rock County. That area right now, most of that precipitation is either a mix of rain and snow or just pure rain. As temperatures rise throughout the day a little bit, most of what's going to come through the rest of the day is going to be rain. But again, lots of snowfall, some ice forming, and of course, lots of people going to work this morning in the middle of this. All that did was compact it onto the roadways. Looking at the 511wisconsin.gov, that's 511wi.gov, lots of road closures and lots of accident incidences around Wisconsin. In fact, if you go to the map that I'm looking at here on 511wi.wisconsin, you get down into our listeners, say, in Milwaukee area, Waukesha and Racine, it gets so numerous, it can't even keep up with all of them. It just has 22 incidents, now down to 19, I guess, in the greater Milwaukee, southeast Wisconsin area. Best if you're listening to us on WAUK in southeast Wisconsin. If you don't have to go out for the next few hours, better off just staying put and chilling out. If you must go on the road, please allow extra time, pack your patience, all the cliches, because it's going to take you a while to get there. Road crews are out. They are working on this situation, but just be careful. In actual terms of winter driving conditions, the only place on the map right now that has an alert out for slippery stretches is actually Highway 11. Again, for our listeners on WAUK and also down in Racine, Kenosha, Highway 11 from Elkhorn over towards Burlington. That area right now is listed as slippery in stretches. But right now, most of the other roadways are technically listed in good winter driving condition. But boy, it does not take much in terms of black ice where a glaze forms and you really can't see it. So please, just to allow some extra caution. Things will clear up as the afternoon goes on. It's going to get better, but boy, it's going to take a while, and just be aware of that. First snow in the season, again, for parts of Wisconsin. People on the western side are saying, what are you talking about? Either just a quick dusting of snow or maybe no snow at all. So kind of shows you how unique weather systems are across the state of Wisconsin. We'll keep updating you and let you know if major accidents or closures come about as we go through the afternoon. Again, that's one of the big headlines today. I'm going to get to the other one breaking in the last hour or so nationally. You heard it at the top of the hour. Matt Gaetz, former congressman of Florida, has withdrawn as President-elect Trump's pick as attorney general. Matt Gaetz notifying folks this morning. Say, reading the story here, President-elect Donald Trump and members of his transition team were notified that Matt Gaetz would be withdrawing his name from attorney general consideration before he made the announcement, according to two sources telling CNN and other news outlets. The source noted there was belief that there was more, even more damning information coming out of the House ethics report, and that members of Gaetz's orbit learned that there may be witnesses that had been interviewed by the committee that had been previously unknown. Multiple sources also said that while Gaetz's meeting with GOP senators yesterday were not negative, it became clear that there were too many hard no's from senators, and the information expected to come out of the ethics report would likely make confirmation all but impossible. Again, Matt Gaetz withdrawing his name technically. Arnold Luke Mathers bringing this to my attention just before we went on the air. Breaking news from Punchbowl News Service. And this is going to be very interesting. Reports are that technically Matt Gaetz resigned from the current Congress. However, he got reelected to that seat from Florida for the new Congress. So again, we're going to have to see how this all plays out, but this may have been quite the ploy by Mr. Gaetz, intentional or not, to kind of avoid this House ethics situation and still be seated in the new Congress come the 3rd of January. I mean, that would be pretty slick. Got to hand it to him. But again, we'll see. Gaetz, again, apparently only resigning from the current Congress, but elected to the new Congress.
I have a question, though. Doesn't that guarantee everybody else in Congress hates you? Or
well,
hates him?
I think that was kind of many people already felt that way already, especially former Speaker Mike McCarthy.
Even farther. Yeah.
I think that also very interesting in this, that the current House Ethics Committee will dissolve at the end of this current Congress. Last night, reports were internally in the House Ethics Committee. It's a 5-5 committee, 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats. Nobody crossed party lines. So it was a tie vote. In other words, they couldn't come to a decision whether or not to release this ethics report. Various outlets, news outlets this morning saying that parts or all of this report have already been leaked to kind of the dark web or other sources. I saw one chart allegedly leaked from the House Ethics Committee on Gaetz, and it really does look like a public transportation map. Like it looks like it's a criminal type where Gaetz's picture is at the top, and then all these lines coming down to payments that he allegedly made either directly to people for sex or to third parties. And again, allegedly, at least one of these individuals was not a legal adult, underage. But apparently now, according to reporting, just breaking now, there may be even additional information that could come forward on this guy. In addition to his sexual proclivities, allegedly, also illegal drug use. And here's the thing about this guy. He left a trail. He paid with some of this stuff, allegedly, through Venmo. Venmo is an electronic payment system, PayPal. You can put it on your phone, and you can attach that to your bank account or a bank account, and then you can transfer money. It's kind of the modern-day version of Western Union, only instead of going to an office, you do it right on your phone. And so, you know, like, I'm not telling people how to do illegal activity, but I mean, you would think if you were, I mean, how bold is that? How brash that you think you could just leave a paper trail, or at least electronic trail, and get away with it. So more of this information is coming out. Now, important stuff, surely. But I think the other big story that's being missed in all of this a little bit, and I've believed this for a while, is that while a lot of people are focusing on the literally and figuratively sexy headlines of people like Matt Gaetz and Pete Hegseth, the nominee for defense secretary, also allegedly has sexual incidents, now being accused of rape in a hotel room. And apparently there is a police report on that. I saw that this morning. It appears to be true. But what people are missing a little bit here is that now people are waking up, again, literally and figuratively, and saying, wait a minute here. The Affordable Care Act is Obamacare? Apparently, this is a thing now, according to reports this morning. TikTok, a wave of TikToks, again, a social media platform. TikTok is going crazy because a lot of these people on TikTok are saying, wait, Obamacare is the Affordable Care Act? And that they have pre-existing conditions. One man reportedly admitted he voted for Trump without knowing it was Obamacare that allowed his mother with stage 4 cancer to get treatment. This is the bigger story to me. That while much of the media is fanning the flames and being drawn to these, I don't want to keep saying sexy, that's the wrong word, but they're titillating, they're clickbait. Sexual proclivity, allegedly. The one new member of Congress, she happens to be a transgender woman. And, you know, Nancy Mace is making a big deal about a House bill banning her from using women's restrooms. People are getting all up in arms and going crazy. And again, I call out picking on people that are in a minority. But you know what this Congresswoman did? This morning, she put out a statement saying, you know what? I came to Washington to work on problems to help my constituents in Delaware. And I'll follow the House ethics, or I'll follow the House rules, whatever they are. Let's move on. And I think she's absolutely right. Let's not get drawn into kind of the shiny thing over on the corner. Oh, look over here, everybody, look over here. Because what's coming in the back door that nobody's paying attention to is the overhauling of real things that are going to affect people's everyday lives. Listener on WMDX, text in. The word you're looking for is sensational. You're absolutely right. Thank you so very much. It's sensational. That's exactly the word I was looking for. Thank you. Don't get hooked on the sensational activities and miss what they're sneaking in the back door. Because it's a heck of a lot worse. Come back and talk to it. Things that affect Wisconsin as well. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started. And leap, it's time to try defying gravity. I think I'll try defying gravity, and you can pull me.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Radio Network's Todd Allball Show. I'm the aforementioned Todd Allball. 21 past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, November 21st. Little theme from our little song from Wicked there, Defying Gravity. Going to get back to the serious news of the day in just a second. I was going to do this in the first 20 minutes. I obviously, larger headlines, major weather situations, and major breaking news across America takes precedent. I went and got my haircut last night at the beautiful Rejuvenation Salon and Spa on Madison's West Side. My hair care professional, Lizzie, was there, and also Gretchen, one of the owners, who have been on the show. Of course, I've gotten my haircut there while we did the show. And I was checking out last night, and here's the reason that you want rejuvenation. Because not only do you get great service with your haircut, you are kept abreast of breaking pop culture issues. I was paying last night, and the wonderful and talented Sarah, the woman behind the counter, checking me out because they had little, I don't know, nail polish or something wicked themed or whatever. We got talking about this. And this new movie is coming out this weekend. It's kind of the Barbenheimer type of thing, where Oppenheimer and Barbie came out last year at the same time. This year it's Gladiator 2 versus Wicked.
Which I will just say doesn't have quite the same...
Maybe not, but it's still two major movies going up against each other. And I was talking about Wicked, and then I had seen the musical here at the Overture Center across the street from where I'm at, and I thought it was one of my favorite musicals. Very, very good. Did you know this, Summers? Am I the only one who didn't know this? This new Wicked movie that's coming out this weekend, it's only half the story.
I did not know that.
They shot the entire thing at once. But apparently the story stops in the musical where you would find Defying Gravity, and we don't get the rest of the movie until next year at this time.
Well,
I was blown away by that because I said, I'm glad I know now, because had I gone and spent whatever 2.5 hours watch, and then you're kind of left undone.
You know, this reminds me of The Hobbit when The Hobbit trilogy came out. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, this is the shortest of the Lord of the Rings books. And the third movie is like less than a page in the book because Bilbo gets knocked unconscious during the battle in the book. And then in the movie, it's a whole movie. And no wonder that movie's terrible because its source material doesn't exist.
Well, this makes me even more nervous about seeing this movie, this Wicked movie. I'll probably go see it at some point, but I'm very nervous now because how do you stop mid-story?
Well, if you want to see the rest of the story, just follow the link in the back of the Barbie doll.
It's cinematic blue balls. You only get half the job. I don't know. Anyway, these are the kinds of information that you get when you have a great hair care professional team like over there at Rejuvenation. So that's why I go there. All right, back to the more serious news of the day. And again, before the break, and thank you, by the way, people. Our own Luke Mather says that's just Act 1. Act 2 is later. Well, sure, Lukester, but you're going to take an 8-month intermission? I mean, come on. I don't like it.
I mean, would you rather they rush it and make it terrible?
No, but it makes me think, does it really take 4 hours or 4.5 hours to tell? That to me says they took basically 4.5 or 5 hours to tell this story.
I guess we'll see.
Which means they added a lot more stuff in. Now, here's something I did not know as well. Gretchen told me she read there's actually a book, called Wicked, that the musical was based on. Right. And she said that the book Wicked, the novel, is much darker than than the musical.
Yes, it is.
So maybe they're going to bring some of this darkness into the cinematic movie? I don't know. I'm not sure. But anyway, these are the first world problems that Todd thinks about when he's having his hair cut. Back to more pressing and important issues of the day before the break. Talking about this withdrawal today of former Congressman Matt Gaetz saying that he, quote, does not want to be a distraction, unquote, to the Trump administration. I bet he doesn't. So he has withdrawn his nomination for Attorney General of the United States after it's been reported this morning that there may be even more information than was first thought in this House Ethics Report, more witnesses that could be damning to Gaetz. And I really, and again, I'm not saying this isn't important and that we shouldn't talk about it and cover it. That's fine. But again, there are things happening on the other side of the stage while we're just speaking of theatrics, while we're being distracted by these larger, sensational, salacious stories. And thank you, listeners, for giving me the adjectives. Things like real plans afoot to dramatically cut or eliminate the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Folks who for years have been getting affordable health care because of Obamacare, because of the Affordable Care Act, just the opportunity to be on a health plan if you have a pre-existing condition. Plans afoot in our nation's capital to dramatically change that. And now hear from Brian Stetzler in CNN. Stelter, pardon me. Tonight, the International Press Freedoms Award, an annual fundraising gala held by the Committee to Protect Journalism in Midtown Manhattan, there will be impassioned speeches about the danger of journalists in places like Gaza, Niger, and Guatemala. But there will also be warnings about looming threats to press freedom in the United States. President-elect Donald Trump's promised retribution could take many forms. That's one of the reasons why advocates and editorial boards are urging the Senate to pass the Press Act, P-R-E-E-S-S Act. The bill would prevent the government from forcing journalists to reveal their sources and limit the seizure of their data without their knowledge. It has been passed by the House twice with bipartisan support, and it has Republican sponsors in the Senate. But it has stalled for months in the Senate Judiciary Committee. And Donald Trump may have just sealed its fate. Yesterday, in between his posts on Truth Social, announcing nominees for his incoming administration, President-elect Trump wrote that, quote, in all capital letters, of course, quote, Republicans must kill this bill, unquote. He linked to a PBS NewsHour interview with the Committee to Protect Journalists head, Jody Ginsburg, advocating for the bill. After Trump's re-election earlier this month, press advocacy groups redoubled their efforts to get the legislation signed into law. This is the kind of stuff they want us to be distracted by, fancy musicals and special effects over here. But the real damage is being done behind the stage. We'll pull back the curtain after this. Don't go anywhere.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said come back tomorrow.
If you are really great and powerful, you'll keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? You ungrateful creatures, think yourselves lucky that I'm giving you audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now.
Oh,
the great Oz has spoken.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 12 noon. Now, I am not the great and powerful Oz. I don't want that. Zomers picked that up.
Well, I played it because it's the scene where he says, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, because you said you were going to pull back the curtain.
Yes, no, that's good. I just wanted people to know I did not say I was insinuating I was any sort of a great and powerful Oz.
No.
But no, you're right. Welcome back to the show, 35 minutes past the hour. Along with Zomers, I'm Todd. You're on the Civic Media Radio Network. Talking about a little bit about an analogy here. You know, this Wicked movie is coming out this weekend. I'm a big fan of the musical, never read the novel. And between Sarah and Gretchen, my hair care professionals, or two of them, at Rejuvenation Salon Spa here in Madison, telling me that this new movie, it stops at the intermission of the stage show. We play the music on the way out, Defying Gravity. Great, great song, by the way. I don't know how I feel about that. But more importantly, as you apply it to kind of current events in the news today, that if you make the analogy of what's going on in Washington during this Trump transition right now, is that it's and this is whether we like him or don't like him, whether you voted for him or whether you voted against him. It's hard to deny the fact that Trump is a great stage show. I mean, great entertainer. That might not be the kind of entertainment we like. I mean, The Apprentice did well. It wasn't always number one, like Trump says, but it did well on NBC. I want 13 seasons or something like that. He knows how to gin people up. He knows how to gin people to push people's buttons. He knows how to get on TV. And I truly believe that while some of these things about the appointees, Gates, Matt Gates now, withdrawing his nomination this morning for Attorney General. Pete Hegseth, designee for Department of Defense, also seemingly a guy with a background. Well, not seemingly. There's police reports. I really think this is either an intentional or a partial intentional distraction from things like they're making plans right now to attack Obamacare. And also the press. By the way, quick weather update for you. Lots of accidents still on the 511wi.gov. And for our listeners in Waukesha, Racine, Kenosha, now 35 different traffic incidents in or around the greater parts of Milwaukee. Technically, roads are listed in good winter driving conditions, except for Highway 11 down near Burlington. But that does not mean that roads are doing great right now. So please, if you're driving in the Milwaukee, Southeast Wisconsin area, try to stay off the roads if you can for a while or plan for extra time. Quick update there. But back to this other story that I think is really important that we're not talking a lot about or haven't. We're not hearing a lot about this from national media. There's a bill in Congress called the Press Act, which would protect freedom of the press. And back to this story on CNN This Morning by Brian Stelter. The time is running out. After Trump's re-election earlier this month, press advocacy groups redoubled their efforts to get this legislation signed into law. Several media outlets and newspaper editorial boards have urged readers to contact their senators and lobby for it. John Oliver from HBO also promoted the bill on his post-election edition of Last Week Tonight. But Senate Democrats are running out of time, according to Wired reporter Del Cameron, wrote last week. Democratic lawmakers have focused on confirming Biden's judicial nominees during the lame duck session, and Republican Senator Tom Cotton has reportedly led internal resistance to the bill. Cotton's office did not respond to CNN's request for comment on whether he is holding the legislation up. Trevor Timm, executive director of Freedom of the Press Foundation, isn't ready to give up yet. Last night, he told Stelter that Trump should reconsider his position because the Press Act protects conservative and independent journalists just as much as it does anyone in the mainstream press, unquote. Here's the argument from him, quote, Democratic administrations abuse their powers to spy on journalists many times too, he said. And quote, the Bipartisan Press Act will stop government overreach and protect the First Amendment once and for all, unquote. Much of the reporting Trump likes, from the Twitter files to stories poking holes in the Russiagate conspiracy, come from confidential sources, Tim observed. He goes on to say his words, many Trump supporters from Representative Jim Jordan to Senator Mike Lee are champions of the Press Act because it would protect all journalists, including many who reach primarily conservative audiences. That's good for the public, whether they voted Republican or Democratic, unquote. Again, these are things we should be, in my opinion, be paying more attention to. Because they're going to affect all of us in one way or another. Meanwhile, and this just, I don't want to say gets more and more bizarre. This story on Morning Joe on MSNBC. Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough, husband and wife off the set, on-air broadcast partners on, who went down and met with Donald Trump last weekend, did not interview him, said they wanted to open up a dialogue. Apparently, according to reports, their ratings have taken a hit this week as many of their loyal followers, viewers, have now lost trust in them after spending the last 5 years attacking Donald Trump and now wanting to play nice. Mika Brzezinski said this, quote, people are really scared. It's one of the reasons we went in there. People are really scared about Donald Trump's comments about political adversaries, unquote. Brzezinski said on the new episode of the Daily Beast podcast. Brzezinski has bristled at the assertion that she and Joe Scarborough were feeling that way. But last night, Puck's Dylan Byers expanded on the Tuesday story about the couple's retribution concerns. Quote, from Puck News Source, Joe and Mika have privately told friends that they're worried the incoming president will seek revenge for their criticism of him, Byers wrote. And quote, a source close to the matter said Joe and Mika believed that by meeting with Trump, they could assuage his potential desire for reckless payback and thus nuke any possibility of having to endure the headlines of a Matt Gaetz witch hunt or legal torture campaign, unquote. Brzezinski also said on the Daily Beast podcast, quote, I don't regret anything I've said during the campaign, and I stand by it. But I'm also looking at how to do things differently. And I would never turn down the opportunity to gain insight or information, ever. Said she's hoping for an interview with Trump. Look, I get it. I get it. Actions have consequences. As I said before on this program a couple times this week, when I was one person, I want to make this clear. It wasn't like this was Todd being all wonderful or a martyr. I was one person of many who stood up in a federal court trial under oath and offered testimony against Scott Walker and his attorney general in terms of voter suppression. And I had a small business at the time, and I believe, although do I have absolute proof of this? No. But I've talked to other people who have had small businesses like mine, and the amount of scrutiny that I came under by the Wisconsin Department of Revenue under Scott Walker was nearly unprecedented. So I get it. But what's the alternative, guys? When you see something, don't say something. Don't speak up. What's the old line? The only way for freedom to end is for good men to do nothing. To paraphrase it, I'll hasten to add women as well. You've heard me talk about Paul Harvey on this program before. The late, great Paul Harvey, radio commentator. And the question has often been asked, what happened to those men who signed the Declaration of Independence? Paul Harvey, noted radio commentator and writer, answered the question in an article entitled, What Price Freedom? Here's what he found. I'm quoting the late, great Paul Harvey now. These are his words, not mine. Five signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. 1 of the signers had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 65 fought and died of wounds or the hardships of the Revolutionary War. But what kind of men were they? These men who boldly wrote their names to the declaration that lit the fires of liberty in souls of men throughout the world? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means, well-educated. Their security, their incomes, and their worldly possessions made them substantially well off. But they signed the Declaration of Independence, even though they knew the penalty would be death on the gallows if they were captured. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ships swept from the sea by the British Navy. He sold his home and his properties to pay his debts and died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the enemy that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers or both looted the properties of Ellery Clymer, Hall, Welton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. At the battles of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwall had taken over the Nelson home for his headquarters. The owner quietly urged General George Washington to open fire, which was done. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. His grave is unmarked and unknown. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within 5 months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and grist mills were laid waste. For more than a year, he lived in the forests and caves, returning home after the war to find his wife dead and his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion and a broken heart. Morris and Livingston suffered similar fates. Such were the stories and sacrifices of the American Revolution. These were not wide-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means, wealth, and education. They had security, but they valued liberty more. Standing tall, straight, and unwavering, they pledged, quote, "For the support of this declaration, with a firm resilience on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor." The words of the late, great Paul Harvey. What price freedom? You don't have to be a revolutionary soldier to have honor. You just have to do the right thing. In your local community, when the school board's making a bad decision, or your city council, or your town board, speak up. When your local representative or state senator is doing something wacky, speak up. And yes, as we see these things happening in Washington, what may, keyword, may be to come, speak up. And yes, there may be a cost. But that's been that way in this country since the Revolutionary War. If Joe and Mika weren't prepared to pay the cost, then they shouldn't have spoken out. And they should have continued to live their wealthy, privileged lives. We're going to continue to speak out and speak up. Back after this is the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock on this Thursday, November 21st, 2024. Glad to have you along with us. Trying to lay things out here about, yes, there are big stories happening nationally, but lots of things happening closer to home that may well affect us even more. One of those from south central-ish, southwest Wisconsin, Juneau County, for those that might not know, is just north of Wisconsin Dells. Mauston is the county seat of Juneau County. Know it pretty well. My former boss, Dale Schultz, represented it for years in the 17th Assembly District. When I ran for his old seat in the Assembly, the 50th Assembly District, it included all of Juneau County. Spent a lot of time there. Beautiful parts. Lots of river, you know, rivers. Wisconsin River runs along one side of it there. Think Lake Wisconsin area up towards that area. Got Nisida, Mauston, New Lisbon. Elroy, Wisconsin, home of Governor Tommy George Thompson. Nice part of the state. Very proud they are in Mauston of their school district. Well, here now, and we're going to see more of this. Remember, 78 local school referendums passed. Voters approved them a couple weeks ago. But one didn't. Headline from channel3000.com. Story by Kyle Przinski. School district of Mauston considers dissolving after a failed referendum. Members of Mauston's community were left with a feeling of concern on Monday when the school district approved two resolutions, including one allowing for the consideration of dissolving the school district. District Superintendent Joel Heesch told News 3 Now that the decision to at least consider dissolving the district was not an easy one to make. At Monday's school board meeting, Superintendent Heath laid all the district's options on the table, including cuts to the 25-26 school year, as well as the dissolution. Quote, "I'm very, very concerned about what this looks like," remarked the superintendent when speaking to News 3 on Wednesday morning. The move follows the district's latest effort in the November election to get voters' approval for an operating referendum. Again, this is not building, not putting a swimming pool in, not just to operate the school district. It was voted down, only receiving 49.3% of the votes cast. So basically, it was a 50-50 election. An earlier April referendum was also voted down. He said, quote, "We did already know that if we don't pass, there's going to be a time frame before we run out of money," unquote. The superintendent emphasizing now the decision to dissolve is nowhere near final, just in the early parts of what could happen. He hopes voters will take notice and the need to increase the district's funding. They're trying to figure out whether they're going to put this on a ballot in February or in the spring in April. And if they turn that down for a third time, the cuts approved by the board on Monday will go into effect. And this would include, and how many times have you heard me talk about it on this show? Going to include the athletic department, clubs like forensics, closing Linden Elementary School, amongst others. The school board has not yet made a decision on the next referendum, whether it will be April or February. I've been saying this, you guys, not because I'm some smarty pants, just because I know rural parts of this state. I mean, not just rural. I understand the tough choices that school boards and school superintendents have to make. It's not blowing smoke. Some of these districts are going to run out of money. And the communities that we all love going to Friday night football, or basketball games, or wrestling, or forensics meets, or choir concerts, or band concerts, they're going to be gone. And the tragedy of this, and we heard this from our news department in the break, Wisconsin is sitting on $4.5 billion surplus. I mentioned at the start of this, I know this area well because it was in the 50th Assembly District and 17th Senate District. I said it was. And the state senator is the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, the most powerful committee in the state that controls all the money, Howard Markline. He got redistricted out of Juneau County. He now doesn't even represent anything north of the Wisconsin River. Tony Kurtz in the Assembly, also on the Joint Finance Committee, may represent a southern corner of Juneau County, but he lost Mauston. So Senator Markline and Representative Kurtz, two of the most powerful people in the legislature that could have got money and actually meant that two-thirds funding went directly to the school district instead of having to be controlled by referendum, which it does now. So don't let your Republican representatives hogwash you on that. Guess what? Just like Matt Gaetz, Tony and Howard pulled out. Don't even represent this area anymore. And now the people in Mauston might lose their football team and their band program. Because you know what Tony and Howard and all the other Republicans in the state legislature, you know what their answer is? But we want to give people a tax cut. Because guess what? With fairer maps this time, they lost 4 state Senate seats, dramatically lost Assembly seats. They're trying to save their political hide. Don't be fooled. Your tax money, $4.5 billion, is sitting in Madison. Make it, give them back to your communities, to your public schools. Back with more after this is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.